Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 725, the topic is Q&A, and the title is Comparison of Slow versus Fast Movements in Training. This concept for the podcast came from a listener, and they asked me to compare or kind of discuss slow and controlled movements for mind-muscle connection and hypertrophy versus fast, more explosive style movements for force production and CNS stimulation. What all that means, if you're not familiar with those words, hypertrophy is muscle growth, and we can just kind of sum that up as like muscle manipulation, muscle change. Are we wanting to grow the muscles? Are we wanting to shape the muscles? What do we want to do with the muscles? And if our goal is to deal with the muscles, if that makes sense, do we want to get them bigger? Do we want to shape them? So that's what we talk about when we talk about hypertrophy in the sense of muscular stress, muscular focus. So slow and controlled movements, what are they best for? More explosive momentum-based movements, what are they best for? And how much of each should I do in my training? Or should I do all or one or none? Or what do I do with that? So we're going to discuss that. The determining factor is, what do you want to get from the exercise you're doing? What's your goal outcome for that exercise? Is the goal outcome to produce strength? To be strong in that exercise? Is your goal outcome to maybe work on technique, maybe work on mind-muscle connection so you can better feel a muscle in order to get it to better grow or better be recruited in other movements? So if I'm doing, you know, conventional deadlift for strength and somebody's telling me to press through my heels so I can better feel my hamstrings engaged to improve my lockout, my positioning around with the bars around my knees, I have to first know what it feels like to feel my hamstrings. So that's kind of like a mind-muscle connection for strength. And then we typically are familiar with the terms of mind-muscle connection for growth. If I want my chest to grow, I have to learn how to feel it contract. If I want my calves to grow, I have to learn how to feel them contract. So we usually think of mind-muscle connection for hypertrophy or muscle change, but it also is important for strength development as well. So this is what we're going to look through today, is we're going to talk about slow and controlled movements, what they're good for. Fast, more momentum-based, explosive movements, what are they good for? And then we're going to talk about CNS stimulation, what that is and how do you achieve it. You can actually do it through aggressive movements, and you can actually do it through slow and controlled movements. It kind of just depends on whether you want the weight load to be light or heavy for that particular day, for that particular exercise, or that particular aspect of your training. But the overriding question we're going to ask ourselves is, what do I want to get from this? What do I want to get from this exercise? What's my desired outcome? Slow and controlled movements are very good for allowing you to feel your body move, allowing you to feel what's happening. The term proprioception means the kind of ability to understand or have a sense of what your body is doing when you can't look at it. So if I don't look at my hand, can I still have my hand reach and grab things, maybe tie a knot, you know, things like that. If I take away my vision and I try to understand my body's placement in space relative to other objects, am I good at that? So for example, if I want to come down on a squat and learn how to maintain heel pressure so my bar path is straight up and down. If I move a million miles an hour and I go very fast, very explosive, I'm not going to really be able to feel what's happening. I'm not going to feel whether I go forward or not. I'm not going to feel whether I stay pressured in my heels or not. I can't really feel anything if I'm going fast. Therefore, you have to go slow. You have to go slow and controlled to have a better sense of feeling where your body is and what it's doing and what sensations are happening. So slow and controlled movements are typically best for technique. So if I'm performing a deadlift, a squat, or a bench press, or any other exercise, and I want to improve my feeling of technique, then I typically want to move slow and controlled. What do we mean by slow and controlled? We mean eliminating momentum. What do we mean by eliminating momentum? It means that at any point in time, I can stop the movement exactly where I am, exactly when I want. One of the ways I explain this to clients in person is if as they're doing the exercise, I said, stop. Can they stop exactly where they are, exactly when I said it? Or do I say stop and it feels like, oh crap, I gotta hurry up and slow this thing down, and there's kind of like a recoil or there's a delay. If there's a sense of having to gather control before I can stop, that means I wasn't in control. Therefore, I would be moving too fast if my goal was to move slow and controlled. So technique work of any exercise is typically going to be best performed slow and controlled. So if you're warming up for squats, getting ready for a big squat, and you want to kind of make sure that you're in the right position, too often people come in, they get excited on their warm-ups and move a million miles an hour like a jackass. And then they wonder why when it gets heavy, all of a sudden they're out of position and they have to try to refine things, when they should have been refining things the whole way throughout their warm-ups. They need to slow their warm-ups down so that way they can get that sense of positioning control and making sure their cues have been attentive to, been paid attention to, and are being executed. Without that control, they're not going to know if what they're doing is right until it gets heavy enough to feel that it's wrong. Okay? So if your goal is to get technique work from an exercise, you need to do it slow and controlled. If your goal is to develop mind-muscle connection, meaning maybe I'm doing cable chest flies to learn how to contract my chest better, so therefore I can get better chest recruitment in my main exercise when I'm trying for muscular growth. So if I want my chest to grow bigger from dumbbell presses, it's actually helpful to do very slow and controlled dumbbell flies first. That gives you a chance to get the sensation of feeling what your chest is doing. Then when you go to a larger movement, a more compound movement where other muscles are involved, you have that sensation already kind of warmed up and ready for the workout. You have that sensation of what the muscle feels like in your chest. So then when you do a press and the front shoulders and the triceps and everything else gets involved, you can still feel the chest because you've awoken that feeling by doing the mind-muscle connection exercises. So mind-muscle connection, learning how to feel a muscle, should be done slow and controlled. If my goal is muscular stress, I want to damage muscle tissue in order to get it to grow, or in order to change its shape. But I want to in some way create damage to that tissue. It's then how we eat, actually, that determines whether it grows or it shapes, or what kind of the outcome goal-like result is. If I don't eat sufficient enough calories for growth, I don't get growth. I have to eat in a caloric surplus during my recovery period after workout in order to have the extra material in order to create extra muscle. So training provides the environment for increased muscular growth, but it's actually through our nutrition and our sleep that we actually obtain that growth or not. But if my goal is to create that muscular stress in hopes that I eat right and sleep right to get the growth, if my goal is to create that muscular stress, then I have to go at a speed in which the muscles feel stressed. If I'm swinging a weight back and forth, or kind of exploding but coasting most of the time, then I'm not actually having the muscles involved much to the point where it would challenge them to grow bigger. So I have to think of, okay, if I want my muscles to be damaged, I have to go slow enough that the stress load stays on my muscles Not that I'm just kind of flinging a weight up and down or back and forth without really feeling the muscle be involved most of the time. People do this all the time. They're just kind of like bouncing a bar off their chest from chest presses. They're, you know, just dropping and throwing dumbbells up for bicep curls. If you aren't moving slow and controlled, meaning that you are always in control of the movement, if you're not moving slow and controlled, you won't maximize muscle stress. Now, can you move heavy things with some momentum and still grow big muscles? Absolutely. Because to some degree, heavy weights moved at a decent pace or medium pace still cause like muscle damage. Sure, absolutely. But they won't cause maximal muscle damage. They'll kind of be more of a blend of lifting something heavy and creating muscle damage. So people who want to get stronger and bigger will often use a little bit faster pacing than somebody who's only concerned with getting the muscle damage. Too often, though, aesthetic athletes only focus on muscle damage, but they don't focus enough on increased strength. What I mean by this is they'll be doing, you know, say, maybe stiff leg deadlifts to build their hamstrings, but they're using 20-pound dumbbells. 40 pounds pulling on your hamstrings doesn't mean much. So instead, they need to work on getting stronger so eventually they can do stiff leg deadlifts with maybe 40s or 60s or 80s. So I have some of my clients doing stiff leg deadlifts with over 100-pound dumbbells because that's what we need to actually create tear and damage into the muscle tissue. Just because you're doing something that feels remotely challenging, but doesn't maximally challenge the muscle, meaning you could actually do more reps, you just stop anyhow, that's not going to create the stress and growth that we want. Muscular stress exercises should be done slow and controlled, but they do still need to be done to muscular failure, like good form failure. The muscles need to feel as if they couldn't meet the demand that was placed upon them. Because that's the only reason why they'll then feel that when you're home and you're sleeping and eating, that they should actually create new tissue to then meet that extra demand. If your current muscles can achieve the current workload, they won't make change. The current workload has to challenge stress and or cause the muscles to fail. Okay. So that's what we're going to look through in the first kind of three examples is if I want to get technique improvement, I need to move slow and controlled to learn the technique. Then I can move fast. If I want to develop mind-muscle connection to grow a specific muscle or to ensure a specific muscle is involved in an exercise, I want to move slow and controlled to develop that mind-muscle connection. And then I can move fast, if I want to. If I want to create maximal muscular stress for muscle growth or shaping, with the least amount of weight used to protect my joints, then moving slow and controlled is the best way to do that. So those are the main benefits, the main goals that utilize slow and controlled movement. But what about fast, explosive movements? Those are best for developing strength and or power and explosivity. So if I have somebody who wants to, you know, get a bigger vertical jump for a sports, they're going to do explosive movements in their training to help them be better at exploding into a jump, which is what a jump is. It's a very explosive movement. If I want to move maximal weight load, the heaviest squat I can lift, the heaviest deadlift, or the heaviest bench, I need to work on moving fast because speed is part of what creates the strength for maximal efforts. So they say mass times force or whatever it is. Force equals mass times acceleration or something like that. Yes. So the faster you move, the heavier weight you can move. So one of the training styles that feeds into this is what's called CAT training, or compensatory acceleration training, which means you move a weight aggressively, explosively, even at light weights. That teaches the body to be explosive. So that is a type of movement or a type of training that can help produce more strength if that's your outcome, that's your goal outcome. You can do a YouTube search for compensatory acceleration training if you want, and you'll see some cool stuff. Josh Bryant, who has a moniker like another name, aka Jailhouse Strong, has really good information on CAT training, compensatory acceleration training. So you can definitely read more about that. Also, Westside Barbell with Louis Simmons talks about that. They call it dynamic effort, but it's pretty much the same thing. Now, they might argue that there's differences, but in a sense, you're moving lightweights very aggressively. You're moving them explosively. Now, that is best for strength development because you want to get better at accelerating a weight and moving a weight fast. Now, can that help with technique? Sure. If you repeat the movement explosively with the intent of being consistent, it can help develop technique. Can that help my muscle connection? Yes, if you do a movement explosively, but you pay attention to really recruiting a singular muscle and staying focused on a single muscle, that can definitely still help my muscle connection. Can you do explosive movement to create muscle growth and muscle shaping? Yes, that can still be done, but it does take a specific amount of training in terms of a specific style of training, specific purposefulness of training. Also, it's typically best when used in combination with slow and controlled movements. So slow and controlled movements absolutely have value. Explosive momentum allowance movements absolutely have value. They do have some overlap, but in general, it is better to move slow and controlled when working on technique, mind-muscle connection, or hypertrophy and muscle shaping. It is best, typically, to move explosively, aggressively, incorporating momentum, taking advantage of momentum, if your goal is to develop strength. Now, what about CNS stimulation? What that could mean is the ability to be used to heavy weight, the ability to move heavier weight, the ability for the body to accept stress. Compensatory acceleration training, explosive-based training, is beneficial when wanting to use light weights to achieve that goal. However, you can also use isometrics and overload eccentrics. Isometrics can be super beneficial for CNS stimulation. If you just unrack and hold 110% of your one rep bench max, that will stimulate a lot of the CNS, but you're not moving. If you do a walkout hold in squats, where you walk out a weight 110% of your max, you stand there and try to breathe for 5 seconds, then rack the bar again, that'll spike your CNS, that'll wake it up. For bench press, you can do heavy overload eccentrics. So for example, in our gym, we have weight releasers, which are things that hang down from a barbell. And you can do a bench press where you lower down maybe 100 to 110% of your one rep max, but weight actually, as the bar comes down to your chest, the weight releasers hit the ground and fall off of the bar, and it makes the bar lighter for you to press it back up. So you can lower down, say 110% of your max, but only have to press up 80%. That allows you to get the sensation of a heavy load onto the muscles, but it's not an explosive movement. So CNS stimulation can be done with explosive movements and non-explosive, even non-moving, such as isometrics. So there are a ton of benefits. I like the idea of being strong and muscular based. So when I do movements, I tend to move a little bit faster than a typical bodybuilder, but I also do move slower than a typical powerlifter. It just kind of depends on what exercise I'm doing, what mood I'm in that day, and how much weight load I want to use that day. Is it a heavy day? Is it supposed to be a lighter day? what do I want my intention to be for that day. I will modify my techniques to reflect my best intention for that day. So maybe I'm doing something on a Tuesday to kind of get my body ready for a big effort on Friday. I would want to use the lightest weights possible, maybe on Tuesday, to get the concepts I want addressed, but not to cause joint stress that I would then be loading on Friday, which might lead to an injury. So there are many, many reasons why it's beneficial to understand the difference of how to intertwine or correctly utilize technique, mind-muscle connection, muscular hypertrophy, and strength development. So, should you move only slow and controlled? No. Should you move always explosive and fast? No. It depends on what you're doing it for. Bodybuilders, warm up slow and controlled to develop mind-muscle connection. When you do your heaviest compound movement for your target muscle, move a little faster, get a little momentum going, get a heavy overload onto the muscles. Then slow down during your secondary type movements to again get better mind-muscle connection and focus into the muscles. Powerlifters, warm up slow and controlled. Get a sense of technique, improve your patterning, improve your feeling of the movement. Then move explosive and fast on your heaviest work. When you go to accessories that are isolative, say back rows to build my back, tricep press downs to build my triceps, move slow. Move slow like a bodybuilder because your goal in those movements is muscular damage and stress. So you move slow to allow time for the muscles to get damaged and stressed. So it all depends on what you want to get from this. What do you want to achieve through what you're doing? Are you sure that your efforts match your intended or desired results? So hopefully this was helpful just to kind of highlight the different uses of these kind of concepts of slow and controlled versus fast and explosive. Really, everybody should be using some combination. The percentages are going to be different depending on each individual person's kind of categorical goal and then also each individual. So not all powerlifters should have the exact same percentage of explosive movements. Not all aesthetic athletes should have the exact same percentage of slow and controlled movements. There is individual difference based on your current placing and where you want to be. So there is a difference. So whenever you're thinking of what should I do with this exercise, should I move slow and controlled? Or should I move fast and explosive? Ask yourself, what do I want to get from this? And that'll help answer it. Hopefully this podcast was helpful. Hopefully it targeted what that person wanted me to discuss. If anybody has any follow-up questions or they want any clarity on things, just email us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you'd like help with programming how to implement these speeds correctly for your goal and you as an individual, we do have programming options through our website at www.brutalirongym.com. We can help you create a template that you can then use for the rest of your life. So a small investment can then last forever. That's our favorite way of doing services, is to teach you what you need so then you can be in charge of yourself and train yourself. We are here to teach you, not to kind of like steal your money month after month, okay? So we want to teach you what to do. And that's what our whole programs are based on, is helping you learn how to do this stuff yourself. So check out the website, www.brutalirongym.com, for more information about that. Hopefully this was helpful. Everybody keep sending your questions. It's really fun to get the questions. I really appreciate it. And thank you for your support. If you want to support us by sharing the podcast, that does make a big, big difference. So please share it if you don't mind, and we thank you that you do. Also, if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.